This is Regionally Speaking from Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. There is an organization that's been created at Franciscan Health Hammond Hospital through Northwest Indiana and Lake County in particular that believes that all elderly individuals and incapacitated adults deserve quality care and community support to be able to lead a safe, dignified, and independent life. And we have with us the director of the program, with us to talk about what is called the Volunteer Assistance for Seniors and Incapacitated Adults, or VASIA program, is LaVon Jarrett. She's the director of the program. It's based at Franciscan Health Hammond. And LaVon, thank you for joining us on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thank you, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
Will you tell us first how the program got started and what it actually does? Because it's really a program in a way that helps bring volunteers together to become court-appointed legal guardians of people, I understand.
That is correct. This wonderful mission-based and volunteer-based program started back in 2001. And under the great mind of our former president and CEO, Thomas Grisback, who actually noticed a need that was identified at the what used to be called St. Margaret in Hammond. The ER was presenting with many seniors over age 55 that had no decision makers. And one dynamic that was very profound is the fact that the hospital sits on the border of Indiana and Illinois. So there was an influx also from the Illinois side of seeing these individuals that came that were very compromised and did not have capacity. So that was when the idea and the need was first identified. And what they started saying and seeing was that this was a growing trend, not just within the hospital system, but also in surrounding systems such as Social Security, such as also in the facilities, the nursing homes, group homes. Also, there was a need. Now, it had to be assessed. It wasn't just an effort that they wanted to make sure was identified just with St. Margaret, a.k.a. Franciscan, but they also wanted to gauge the community as a whole and see, are you all seeing the same thing we are?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they did. Yeah. They did. Unfortunately, there was quite a few people, seniors, that just did not have the support systems that they needed to help them kind of navigate through the healthcare system. And so Thomas Grisback was combined with another great mind. Her name is Rebecca Pryor. She actually came on board as a consultant, and she has a very strong court-appointed special advocates for children, which is also known as CASA.
Right.
She has a powerful background of that concept. And so those two great minds combined, and they said, well, why don't we design a program very identical to the CASA model, but it would just be for seniors? And so that is kind of how the idea began to kind of formulate, and sure enough, time just gathered all of the confirmation that this is definitely an issue in the Lake County area, and they figured, well, if we do the CASA model, we need a judge. And so they were blessed to actually have the Honorable Judge Diane Cavadilla Schneider, who actually I interviewed with a couple years ago on this very radio station, who is retired and moved on. But she was the judge that said, you know what? I also see that from the probate court's perspective, and I'm willing to support this initiative, and let's make it solid and something that can endure and protect our vulnerable population. And at that time, that was the seniors. VASS was born.
Now, we mentioned at the outset of our conversation that this is a volunteer program. Tell us about the volunteers, the type of people that you are asking to become volunteers to participate in this program.
Oh, my goodness. Our volunteers, for the community volunteers that are coming from all walks of life. We currently have, since the history of the program, since 2001, we've trained over 500 people throughout the duration of the service base. But the volunteers that we usually draw are coming from all walks of life. We have retired nurses, we have attorneys, we have caregivers, we have school teachers, we have executives. And then we have people that have just been caregiving for their loved one that want to have a little bit of more information about guardianship. What I love is that our program actually offers the training. So if a volunteer expresses an interest, the volunteer has an opportunity to be trained through 6 virtual sessions, because we've accommodated the virtual platform. And that volunteer can take those training sessions virtually, and the result will be that they will be sworn in as an officer of the Lake Superior Court, and they will become the eyes and ears for the program. We actually call them our volunteer guardian agents for the program. And these wonderful individuals, they stand and they make decisions for the incapacitated person in which the program is guardian for. Mm-hmm. And that could include medical, that could include placement, and sometimes, unfortunately, end-of-life planning as well. So these are folks with big hearts that has a capacity to just care about someone that they've never met. And, again, our volunteers, I can't say enough about the folks that we call them volunteers, but they're way more than that. They're angels. They give their time, their talent, their resources to advocate for someone that they've never met, they didn't know prior to the program.
Now, Levon, are there any specific qualifications that a person has to have that to make them be able to participate in the program as a volunteer?
Sure. You do have to be 21 years and older. We do a criminal background check, so you cannot have any incriminating things on your record. And, of course, there's a requirement of completing the training, which is 6 sessions, a total of a little bit over 20 hours. And back in the day, it used to be 40. So we've kind of, you know, accommodated the pandemic and how to make things more convenient for folks that want to volunteer. And then after that, they will be required to do a continuing education, which is quarterly within a year's time, and give a year commitment. And again, we have a very strong support system for our volunteers. So any decision that they make, they do not make it by themselves. They do have a support system of a volunteer coordinator, Francisca Mendoza. They have Barbara Melendez, who is our VASIA manager, as well as Brian Drummond, who is our licensed social worker. And of course, myself. And we have wonderful professional trainers that are coming also from all walks of life that contribute to the training. And we're blessed to have our own commissioner, Ben Ballou, that actually does a direct session about the probate requirement and what is expected of the volunteer by the court system.
We're speaking with Levon Jarrett. She's the director of the Franciscan Health Hammond's Volunteer Advocates for Seniors and Incapacitated Adults program, also known as VASIA. Tell us about the professionals that help in the training process. What fields do they come from? Because obviously you're talking about a volunteer who has to know an awful lot about a lot of things.
Yes. You hit it on the head. So we try to meet that need by having the variation of trainers. So we have... we've been blessed again with our very own commissioner that I mentioned before, Commissioner Ben Ballou from our probate court division, who definitely breaks down the Indiana Code and the responsibilities that are stated in the Indiana Code that refer to the volunteer. Then we also have professional trainers. We have our very own Franciscan trainers that give the perspective of privacy, and security, making sure that we are in compliance with HIPAA laws. Then we have our very own trainer that actually comes with a psychiatric background, because some of our individuals that we serve do have dual diagnosis. So it's not just dementia, but there are other diagnoses that we do have to deal with. Mm-hmm. We do have someone that presents on hospice. We have a nurse that presents on all of the medical decisions and complexities of procedures that our volunteers may face. We also have a trainer that deals with the end of life. We have a trainer that deals with what do you need to look for when you're making a placement into a skilled care facility or a group home. And because our target population is not just those with dementia and psych issues, but also persons with intellectual disabilities. So we also have training on that component. So it's a wide range of supports and resources. And we also have excellent trainers coming from the educational climate that deal with communication and guardianship. So it is a phenomenal training team. We've been blessed throughout the duration of VASIA to have great trainers. And so our training is definitely one of the best practice models for the state.
We're talking with LaVon Jarrett, who's the director of Franciscan Health Hammond's Volunteer Advocates for Seniors and Incapacitated Adults, VASIA. This is a program. We've talked now about the volunteers for the program. Let's talk about those who are participating in the program. How does one, if someone is needed or somebody in the family knows of some need to put somebody in the program, how do they do so?
There are multiple ways to get access to our program, and I do need to also explain that VASIA does and prides itself on being a referral source from social workers that are within hospital systems and nursing home facilities. So for that climate and for that level of a referral, we do look for social workers to send the referral packet. All of the information to start a referral to our program is actually on our website. If you Google Franciscan VASIA, all caps, V-A-S-I-A, you will be able to see the forms that are required to actually initiate a referral. That's mm-hmm. including an intake, and a licensed physician's report must be completed to accompany all of the documents that would start a referral. Now, if there's an individual within the community that sees someone that they feel like may need some services, or they may have been abandoned, or there may be some family dynamics that are just not in their best interest, you can call Adult Protective Services, because we are in partnership with Adult Protective Services to work collaboratively in seeing if the person meets the criteria for our program. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend those two options as far as institutions or anyone that is actually within the community.
Now, is that because with Adult Protective Services, they are working as part of the arm of the Lake County court system?
Correct, mm-hmm. correct. And they have a lot more access to the community as a whole. You know, we are seeing the growing need of advocacy for individuals that have been, unfortunately, affected by the pandemic, that may have lost some supports in the process. So we are seeing the need to definitely strengthen the relationship with Adult Protective Services so that we work together, making sure that incapacitated and at-risk individuals have some kind of service base mm-hmm. to assist them.
How long does the process take?
Good question. So there are two classifications of how we move an actual guardianship referral. One being an emergency. We will consider a referral to be an emergency if there is an immediate medical need. For example, if there is a medical procedure that needs to be done that is life-threatening. For example, a feeding tube is a good example. Or if the person is failing to thrive and their health is failing and they need some hospice services, those are prime examples. Those types of cases, we try to navigate through the court system a little quicker, and we are so blessed to have our commissioner to make that known to us. If we need an emergency push through, then he is definitely going to accommodate those things for us. So I would say it's kind of hard to give a strong turnaround time, mm-hmm. but we've been able to accommodate at least a week or two to actually get an emergency case moved, and sometimes quicker. Now, there's another classification, and that's a non-emergency, and those individuals are probably needing placement. There's a change in their health status, and they're at one level, and they need to go to either a higher level or a lower level, and they're just incapacitated and can't make the decision. Those are considered non-emergencies, and those can take up to a month or so. And it's based on the availability of our court system, how we can get on the docket schedule, and what's available for our judges' schedule. So those are the things that do matter. It helps us a lot when referrals are complete, legible, and all of the questions are completely answered. Those are the things that help navigate a referral moving through the process a little smoother.
Now, LaVon, finally, if anyone's interested to learn more about the program itself or to become a volunteer, how can they do so?
So we have a website. Again, I do believe there is a link on that specific website that I gave before, gave reference to. If you just Google Franciscan Bassia, there is an interest form. And we love to see those. It's an online form that you can fill out, very simple, and that actually comes directly to our office. You can also feel free to give me a call directly at my desk phone, which is 219-933-7907. And you can leave a voicemail, and we will definitely take down anyone's interest. We are excited that we will be planning to coordinate a spring training that actually begins in April. In fact, I can give the dates now.
Okay.
As we are just in the planning of that. Those dates are April 4th, April 5th, April 6th, April 11th, April 12th, and April 13th. All of these trainings are virtual through Microsoft Teams. Again, we try to make this way more accessible to individuals. The trainings are from 5 to 7:30. And believe you me, you don't want to miss a session. What we find is after we have completed the 6 sessions, people are still just kind of hanging around, and they're like, man, we really don't want this to end, because the information is so hefty and so important to the decisions that they will be making. Once a person decides that they want to take on this volunteer opportunity, again, they can do the online interest form, or they can give me a call, and we can actually take down their information and include them on the mailing list that includes all of these dates again and other pertinent information as to how to actually access the session.
LaVon Jarrett is the director of the Franciscan Health Hammond's Volunteer Advocates for Seniors and Incapacitated Adults VASIA program. And thank you for the great information. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris. It was my honor.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. Laura Smith Wynn is the founder and the CEO of the Indiana Parenting Institute, also known as IPI, which we've talked about in the past, but we're talking about not only the IPI, but about Laura herself. She is the 2022 recipient of a Sagamore of the Wabash Award from Governor Eric Holcomb. And Laura's with us to talk about the award and about the IPI in general. Laura, thank you very much. First off, congratulations for such a big honor. It's the highest designation that the governor can give in Indiana to somebody, a citizen, for whatever they have happened to done. And in your case, all the work that you've done for the IPI. Thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I'm really still very excited about it. It's an award that I had not even anticipated receiving, and then to find out that I was getting it, you can only imagine how emotional that was for us. The award was given out on the 13th last week, and what happened is somebody called me and told me that I had been nominated for the award, and I was like, I thought they had the wrong number. I'm like, what are you saying? But it was me, and so I was just really very excited about it, to know that our work was being acknowledged in Northwest Indiana. And it's always good to get an award and bring awards home to the community in which you serve, especially at the state level.
Now, despite the pandemic, did you go to Indianapolis and get the award?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Everything was orchestrated in the Capitol building. The governor was there. It was part of the Martin Luther King celebration. The governor comes to that event. And at that event, he presents the Sagamore Award. And that's where I received my award from him.
Now, let's talk about the IPI. And we've talked about various topics related, of course, in the past on Regionally Speaking. But maybe somebody who's just listening to our program doesn't understand what the group is all about. Tell us, first off, your interest in young people, certainly, but your interest in particular to spread that out to across the Hoosier State by creating the Indiana Parenting Institute.
Yes, I started Indiana Parenting Institute in 2007. And it was something that was very near and dear to my heart, because on the news, as we are still hearing today, parents were just struggling in terms of raising their kids. Every day I would listen to the news, and there would always be some story about you know, parents going through all of this struggle in terms of raising children. And I can certainly relate to that because parenting and the knowledge of children have changed tremendously since I was a kid. There's so much information available to them. And so I felt this passion that this is something that I needed to do. And so I came to Gary because I'm originally from Illinois. I came to Gary and or to Northwest Indiana. And I decided, you know, I would see kids going to school and school would be open, but they would be walking down the street. And I thought, you know, well, maybe what I can do is help parents address some of the issues that they're dealing with. One of the things that's really important to me is for parents to learn how to maximize the intelligence, the safety of children, you know, how to nurture them so that they become the best people that they can be. And sometimes as parents, we teach what we know as parents. And sometimes we come out of environments where we ourselves have not been nurtured. So how is it possible for us to understand how to nurture someone else, you see? And so what Indiana Parenting Institute does is that we work with parents, so that parents learn how to nurture their children, how to keep children safe, how to inspire the intellectual capacity of their children so that they grow up and become leaders of the world. That is my passion. I want kids to have the best opportunity possible, and it all begins in the home. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really think about it, we get our foundations for living in the home. That is where we're taught. But just imagine being in a home where your parents do not know how to teach you. It's work with families to make mm-hmm. sure that they understand what that process is. And they can call us up anytime. They come to our courses. We offer a variety of courses. And it's not just about any particular parent. It's just a parent who needs help finding themselves struggling, trying to raise their kids. We're there. We provide support if people need housing. They need rental support. That has just made it even more, created a greater need, if you will, mm-hmm. for those types of services. But also come and learn how to be a great parent and love what you do and see your children become successful. That's what we're all about.
Have you seen that it's been very difficult for at-risk family members, underserved family members, certainly here in Northwest Indiana, to be able to not only keep the family together the best they can, but also let young people be kids, let kids be kids, let them grow up to enjoy their youth while they still have it?
Do you know what? I do see that there is a need for more of that. Kids have become so isolated in terms of staying at home. If you notice, especially in the communities that we work in sometimes, we don't see a lot of kids outside playing anymore. I see children who are just kind of bombarded by the issues that are going on within the home. So as a result of that, these children are feeling, they're not really feeling like kids. You know, they're acting more like grown-ups.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with those same issues that the parents are teaching. The parents are having issues. So the children are reflecting, if you will. They are reflecting that behavior from their parents. And I think that parents are not aware of the impact that they have on children. By that, I mean children learn from the environment that they are in. And they're learning consciously and unconsciously, meaning they see what you do and they hear what you do. But most children, if you notice, they will emulate their parents. You know, so whatever that behavior is that's going on in the home, you will see that behavior reflected in children, even in terms of the language that they use, even in terms of how they resolve conflict, even in terms of how they have conversations, you understand? Mm-hmm. You see all of that. And I think that once parents become aware that you're teaching silently and vocally, you understand, mm-hmm. that it makes a difference because now I know that if I say this or if I act like that, that my kids are, you know, that I'm demonstrating behavior to them. And that's the behavior that mm-hmm. they're going to it when they go out into the world.
Laura,
and what we want is for them to have those social skills that are essential to being successful in life.
Will you tell us a little bit, at least if the governor passed along any ideas or thoughts when he handed over the Sagamore for the Wabash Award to you?
Well, actually, we had a very private conversation, and I thought it was very productive and very helpful. And he understands the need for parenting education, not only just in the area where we are, but across the state. And there are programs that are on the table that will be coming forth that will benefit families in our communities across the state.
Laura Smith-Wynn is the founder and the CEO of the Indiana Parenting Institute, and she is also the 2022 Sagamore of the Wabash recipient. Laura, congratulations once again, and thanks for being with us to talk about it.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And if anybody wants to make donations to us, we're more than willing to accept.
That's it for Regionally Speaking for today and for this week. Our thanks to LaVon Jarrett with Franciscan Health Hammond's VASIA program and Laura Smith-Wynn, who is the executive director and founder of the Indiana Parenting Institute. I'm Chris Nolte. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with you on Monday.